Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Clap of the hands, the pass complete to Felton. Felton breaks two tackles up the sidelines at the 40. He may go all the way. Down to the 35 and the 30. 20, 10, 5, touchdown, Ty Felton.
Man, Maryland's got once again. We'll see if they've got enough in the trenches to compete with the big boys in the Big Ten. But the speed they have at wide receiver, in the backfield, at running back, in their secondary, up front defensively. Once again, Loxley, he recruits athletes, man. And Ty Felton, who played out in Northern Virginia in Ashburn, is a pro. I mean, when you watch him, this is a day two pick. I don't think there's any question about it. Worst case, Ty Felton, 7 catches, 178 yards, 2 touchdowns, including that hitch, which he turned into a 75-yard touchdown catch and run as Maryland blew out UConn in their opener Saturday in College Park, 50-7, Denton. You watched college football all weekend. I watched it all weekend long. Denton, of course, hosting SiriusXM college football show Friday nights and Saturday nights during the season. Before we get to the rest of the slate, let me just tell you, I know this has happened to me in previous years where I get excited about Maryland football early in the season, and then, you know, they get up against an Ohio State or a Michigan or a Penn State, and it doesn't look so good. You know, last year they were 5-0. They went to Ohio State. They were actually super competitive in that game, but ended up losing by 20. And they had a chance last year against Michigan at home. This year, they had question marks because there was no more Lua Tagovailoa at quarterback after 4 years, and Billy Edwards Jr. was taking over as the permanent starter, or at least the guy that had won the job here early. And they had questions about their offensive line, which was essentially 5 new players. Maryland's quarterback, Billy Edwards Jr., was outstanding on Saturday. Again, taking into consideration the opponent, which wasn't very good. He hit on his first 7. He was 20 of 27 for 311 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks. He rushed for another 39 yards on the day. He is a runner. He's dual threat. But his question mark heading into the season was accuracy as a passer. I thought he was on target all day. In addition to Felton at wide receiver, they've got Prather. I mean, both of those guys are probably draft choice material. Felton, I think, a day two pick. Prather could certainly be a day two or a day three pick. In the backfield, they got a running back in Hemby, who looks like another one of those backs who could end up on an NFL roster one day. And then Nolan Ray, redshirt freshman, played a couple of plays last year. They've been talking about him all summer. How are they going to keep him off the field? First time he touches the ball, 48-yard touchdown run. He's apparently a blazer, super fast. I like Hemby, too. They just have incredible game-breaking skill position players on offense. And then, I'm telling you, Denton, check out Glendon Miller, Maryland's safety. He is so good. Their safeties are so good. They run so well defensively, and they're better up front than they've been at any point during the Locksley era. It's UConn. They won 50-7. Yeah, they put up 634 yards of offense. You know, they probably could have been 1,000 yards of offense if they really needed it. They play another team this week that they're a 9-point favorite over, Michigan State. I mean, Maryland's kind of moved ahead of some of the schools in the Big Ten in recent years that used to be solid, you know, kind of contenders slash pretenders to the big boys. Michigan State's one of them. They've got a new coach in Jonathan Smith. They're not very good. Maryland has a chance to be 6-0 when USC comes to town on October 19th. They're good enough, talent-wise, to be that. Well, time will tell on whether or not they can match up to SC, to Oregon, to Iowa, to Penn State, all of whom are on the schedule. Ohio State and Michigan, not on the schedule this year. Did you see any of the Terps on Saturday, Denton?
Yeah, I saw a couple plays. Honestly, I didn't watch all of the game because it was in that window with Notre Dame WVU and Penn State and then Clemson and Georgia, and I was just relishing in how far Clemson has fallen this year. But Billy Edwards looked good. I went back and watched it quickly. He looked really good. I think you bring up a good point in that it's only UConn. And I know they're going to be the hot ad of the Big 10 or Big 12 in 5 years from now, 7 years from now, whatever it is. But I think it was more the fluidity of the offense that was impressive and the way that they were able to move the football. Seemingly it will. So once they play better competition, you'll get a better idea of whether that's true or not. You know, Michigan State, while not good, is certainly better competition. I really like Jonathan Smith. I don't like Michigan State a lot this year. I think their quarterback's not all that great. But that'll be much better competition. If they can still move the ball against a team that has at least on par the same kind of talent that they do, that'll be really, really impressive.
I watch Michigan State. I like Jonathan Smith, too, and I think he'll end up turning it around there. But they do not have Maryland's team speed.
No, they do not. No.
Maryland has exceptional team speed. I'm not talking about Georgia, Ole Miss, Alabama, okay? But I'm talking about that next tier down. That's where they are skill position-wise with their speed on both sides of the ball. By the way, they're pretty athletic up front on defense as well. They're a 9.5, 10-point favorite now against Michigan State. I actually thought we were going to see a double-digit line when it came out. But that's 3:30 in College Park. And then the other local that people were excited about, I know you were excited about Virginia Tech this year. That was a bad loss. Kyren Drones looked great in the comeback, and I flipped that game on because it was the only competitive game in that first window on Saturday. And he was out in overtime. They put the kid from Frederick, Maryland, the guy that played at UCLA last year, into the game, Colin Schley. And I thought Vanderbilt's quarterback was exceptional.
Yeah, Pavia was great. He was a gamer. The Drones for Schley thing, you know, I think he was cramping, Drones was, which is why they pulled him out. But I don't understand, if he's cramping, pull him out, fine. Don't put him back in for a play and then bring him back out for a play to then have the backup quarterback throw what is supposed to be the game-tying touchdown in the back of the end zone. The guy clearly wasn't warm. He sailed that thing, nearly got his wide receiver killed because he didn't see the safety coming across that leveled the wide receiver. I didn't love that coaching aspect of it. You need to, if you're going to take Drones out, take him out. But the taking him out, then putting him in, and then taking him out again thing was really, really weird. I didn't love that decision.
You saw the penalty that Virginia Tech got called on in the game of having two players on the field with the same jersey number?
That's so bad. That's like, I mean,
it cost them 3 points.
It cost them 3 points.
They had the punt unit out there, and then they put the field goal team out there. They made a kick. That was a huge, turned out to be a huge field goal for Vandy. I thought Pavia looked great for Vanderbilt. And you weren't the only person, by the way. You weren't out there by yourself on Virginia Tech. I listened to a lot of people say Virginia Tech's much better than people think. They may not be able to win the ACC, but they're gonna be right there. Nick Saban loved Virginia Tech coming into this season.
Well, they still can win the ACC. So, like, if you're someone in my position that did pick them 10-1 to win the ACC, that's still on the table. But a loss to Vanderbilt's embarrassing. Because the thought is that you are a much better program than Vanderbilt, who is traditionally, for like a decade plus, been the bottom of the barrel in the Power Four, last year five, conferences. So like that, losing to them and then having that penalty that you mentioned, like that's a Vanderbilt penalty of the last 10, 15 years. So that, all of it, that was embarrassing. I hope they rebound, but that was an embarrassing loss for Virginia Tech.
Not a good one. All right. Take us through the weekend and give me your big storylines and your favorite games.
So as you mentioned, the weekend wasn't filled with a lot of great games. That's kind of what we expect, though, with week one. For most of the top 10 teams, it's basically a preseason game where they pay a lot of money to somebody to come beat them up, essentially. But I did think there were some impressive performances. I really loved what I saw from Drew Aller at Penn State. I had a lot of questions with him entering this season, and a lot of those questions were answered. Very similar to kind of what you mentioned with Billy Edwards, yet at a slightly grander scale. Can he be accurate? Can he throw with anticipation? Can he throw with touch? And he did that all, and did it against a pretty decent WVU team in a pretty tough environment. I thought that first touchdown pass, which wasn't the sexiest throw in the world, but throwing with the anticipation before his wide receiver broke and then putting it on the money, he didn't do that last year. So the fact that he now has the ability to do that, you know, Penn State, the way they ran their offense, their new offensive coordinator, Kotelnicki, I thought was really, really great. I don't know, did you hear what he said after the game about describing offenses?
I didn't.
All right, I'll play that for you in my news because I have that. But he described it as a blizzard, effectively, like a Dairy Queen blizzard. The way that they operate against WVU is incredibly impressive.
A DQ blizzard? Nothing wrong with a DQ blizzard. A lot of stuff.
It's
in
the
a DQ blizzard.
Best way I've heard to describe offense, personally. I really thought Miami looked impressive. You said you thought about playing Florida. I'm glad you didn't. I had Miami. I hammered Miami laying the 2.5. You know, sometimes I don't often beat the books necessarily, but the times that I do are stuff like this. Like I had Miami and I had Clemson. Those are my two biggest, or Miami and Georgia. Those are my two biggest plays because I understood the expectations for Florida and Clemson maybe a little bit more in depth than a casual fan did. Florida's bad. They're a bad team. They're still running Graham Mertz out there in 2024.
He's terrible.
I mean, he's living off of one game in a pandemic 4 years ago, and that's why he's still a Power Four quarterback. It's unreal that they're still running him out there.
Wisconsin beat who?
And I couldn't even tell you. It was the first game of the season. There were no fans there. The guy threw four touchdown passes.
Right.
And you're like, all right, this guy, he's the anointed one, and then he was not that for the rest of the year, and he's still playing college ball. I mean, it's a finesse king. It's him and DJU. They're like the two finesse kings. The fact they still have jobs as quarterback one is stunning. But Cam Ward from Miami, whew. The ACC is not good. But damn, Miami should train roll all of them. All of them.
Do you know stylistically, in watching Cam Ward last year and then, of course, in this spot, which was the biggest spot he's played in, you know, a game in the swamp and the opener for a Miami fan base, you know, that it needed this win because they're excited about the year. And that stylistically, there's a lot of Jaden Daniels in Cam Ward. There's a casual kind of cool in which he plays. Now, I don't think he's, because of his size, because he's not as tall as Jaden, you see he has to kind of create some passing lanes. So he's got to move around a little bit more, including moving backwards a little bit too much rather than moving up. And I think part of it is that he doesn't see it as well as Jaden did. But man, he was so good. And I didn't realize, although maybe you told me this over the summer, that the running back from Oregon State, Damian Martinez, is at Miami as well. He's going to be huge for them this year. They didn't need him as much on Saturday, but that was impressive. They've, you know, that was Cam Ward put on a show. you know, on Saturday, and put himself, you know, along with Travis Hunter, you know, right there, you know, climbing the list of Heisman hopefuls.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. He looked like him and Drew Aller were the two best quarterbacks, I thought, from week one, you know, taking into consideration who they played. Because, like, I didn't learn anything about Will Howard. They played Akron at Ohio State. I don't learn anything from that. You know, Ole Miss, Jackson Dart put up like a Joe Burrow-esque first half. I saw that floating around on social media. Like, the only person that put up a first half similar to Jackson Dart was Joe Burrow against Oklahoma in the playoff. The one difference is Joe Burrow did in the playoff against Oklahoma, and Jackson Dart did it against Furman. Yeah. Like, I don't learn anything about Ole Miss by beating Furman 76-0. Obviously, LSU and USC was the best game of the weekend as far as I was concerned, because it had two quarterbacks that I thought were competent. I was stunned at how good USC's defense looked. I was stunned at how good they held up in the trenches against a team like LSU. I've been very off on USC this year, and I'm going to try not to get like completely caught in the air by the head fake, as you call it, that week one is, but they looked really impressive in the trenches.
So a couple things. I wrote down before this segment, Drew Aller, super impressive when I didn't think he was impressive at all last year. And by the way, also impressive with some mobility in that game. That game got delayed about 2 hours and 20 minutes. I also think Nick Singleton, they're back. He's always been super gifted, but he was unbelievable against West Virginia. And that was just a really, really good win for Penn State. You know, I know it's West Virginia. They didn't beat Ohio State. They didn't beat Michigan. But there was a lot of discussion that this was a trap game. This was going to be a difficult spot. Maybe they got lucky with kind of the crowd thinning out after a 2-hour-plus delay. But they were dominant in that game. And that's a good sign for Penn State, because the quarterback got it done. I also wrote down Miller Moss and Nussmeier. Moss and Nussmeier in the Sunday night game, which I think for my money was the best game of the weekend. And, you know, a game that Brian Kelly's beating himself up for, and perhaps with good reason, because I thought there were opportunities on a couple of those third downs that they tried to run it up the gut, that they should have been throwing the football, because Nussmeier was outstanding as a thrower. Miller Moss, outstanding. Super quick processors. They were both really accurate. They did great jobs in replacing the last two Heisman Trophy winners in Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels. I was so impressed with both those teams. Here's my one thing. It's week one. These teams were so bad defensively last year, and there was expectation for improvement this year. But I saw like an SC defense and even an LSU defense at times that was so much better than they were last year. We'll see how it holds up as the season goes along. But Nuss were so good. LSU just had so many boneheaded penalties, just stupid penalties. 15-yard penalty. Kyron Lacy with the shotgun or the pistol thing, the gun thing. That was so dumb and selfish, and it cost him big on field position on the kickoff return, because Branch is something else as a returner for SC. I love the reaction to Miller Moss. It was similar to the reaction they had in the bowl game last year, Denton, when he threw six touchdown passes. And I'm not saying that at the exclusion of or at the any sort of criticism towards Caleb Williams, but they love this guy, Moss. And his interview after the game was really good. Like, he's got it together. Nussmeier has it together. I think these two teams are going to be interesting to watch all year. That was a good football game in terms of the football games all weekend. My other two notes were Oregon beat Idaho 24-14. When you think about Oregon this time of year, you usually think 58-7, 69-10, and they were 17-14 in the fourth quarter, but it was so misleading. I was actually paying attention to this game. They dominated the game. They just couldn't score for some reason. So this is one of those, like, week one can be a head fake. They play Boise this coming weekend. That it wouldn't surprise me if they put 50-plus up on Boise. And then my last note was last night. DJU has not been good at any stop. I don't know what made anybody think that it would be better. Jordan Travis getting injured last year ruined Florida State's chance at a national championship, or certainly a playoff berth, which they would have had. DJU was so bad last night, but what was really awful last night, if you're a Florida State fan, was the fact that Bill O'Brien, who can scheme it up offensively, you can think whatever you want about Bill O'Brien, you know, as the Texans head coach at Penn State, which where he did a phenomenal job in the wake of the Sandusky thing, you know, coordinating in New England, whatever. He can scheme up offense. He can coach quarterbacks. And last night, his quarterback was outstanding as a runner and a thrower, and they rushed for 265 yards against Florida State's defense. They were 52 rushes, 16 pass attempts in the game. They controlled and dominated the line of scrimmage against Florida State. I thought last night was definitely about Florida State, Denton, and the troubles they have right now, and there are troubles for them. But I thought BC was super impressive and super tough at the line of scrimmage. And I've always been, Cooley and I got in this argument all the time, I've always thought that Bill O'Brien gets more out of less every place he's been. Penn State, you know, off of all of the sanctions and the, you know, recruiting and scholarship limitations. Houston, who they never had a quarterback, and he was taking them to 9-7 seasons, you know, and the playoffs each year. Wouldn't surprise me if BC's a bit of a surprise this year, and last night was as much about them as it was about Florida State. But Florida State's got no quarterback. No quarterback.
So bad.
And they got absolutely manhandled at the line of scrimmage last night, which was the biggest shock.
I mean, they ran 16 times. That's embarrassing. And how funny is it that the three best teams that I've seen, like, with my eyes in the ACC are Boston College, Georgia Tech, and Miami. What a trio that is.
I know. Yeah. Now, I wouldn't discount like Clemson because they played the best team in the country. Again, that's what it looks like to me. But yeah, I mean, they had a quarterback that in college went 21 of 42. He completed 50% of his passes. By the way, he got picked off once, should have been picked off about three or four times, was lucky. He just doesn't see it. He's one of those guys that is a physical freak, always has been. You know, what is he, 6'5", 260, something like that? But he doesn't see it. He can't process it. He can't play the position. They should put him, like, as a pass rusher or a tight end. All right. Ian O'Connor wrote a book about Aaron Rodgers. I think we're going to have next. It might be next hour, though, depending on the clock here. We'll figure it out during the break. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hitting the news you might have missed. It's Denton's Daily News.
All right, Denton, we go.
All right, big news out of San Francisco today. Trent Williams agreeing to a contract extension, so he's going to be good to go for week one. On top of that, Christian McCaffrey, who'd been out with a lower body injury, is also returning to practice this week, so he should be good for week one. Remember, they get the Jets on Monday Night Football. San Francisco does.
You know, the point spread in that game was as high as 6. Then it came down to as low as 3.5, and it's back to 4.5 after the news today with Trent Williams and Christian McCaffrey. You know, we don't think that much, at least I don't as much anymore, about Trent Williams. Trent Williams is potentially going to go down as one of the greatest left tackles in the history of the game. You know, there was a stretch when he was here where I would have said he's really good, but there are better left tackles in the game. There are 3 or 4 better left tackles. A couple of them in the division were Teron Smith, Jason Peters, et cetera, were in the division at the time. But the thing that really disappointed me was early in his career where Trent, you know, and I understand it was weed, you know, and I understand what the rules are now about weed, but how he got himself, you know, suspended not once but twice. It was, you know, horrible timing in 2015. When he missed the last 4 games as they were making a playoff push, or 2015 or 2016, I'm forgetting which year. Second time it had happened, I mean, you know, you had to be a little bit more, you know, aware, and he wasn't at that point. There was never any doubt about his incredible athleticism for the position. That was one thing right from the jump in 2010, you know, when they picked him at number 4 overall, that first camp. I mean, it was so obvious that he was just an absolute freakish athlete for an offensive lineman, for a tackle. Now, would he develop into a great player? Yeah. He's the best left tackle in the game. Most people would say that. He's now an absolute lock Hall of Famer. And somebody will put together, you know, the greatest left tackles in the history of the game list. And while I don't expect Trent Williams to be in the top 10, you know, I don't expect him to be in the same category of a Jonathan Ogden or, an Anthony Munoz or a Walter Jones. Trying to think of you know, he'll be in that category with Joe Thomas, who just retired. in Cleveland. He's going to be in that second tier of the greatest tackles of all time. And he's having himself a long career, you know, on top of that. I mean, Trent Williams was drafted in 2010. He was Mike Shanahan's first draft choice. We're talking now about, you know, year 14 for Trent Williams at 35 going on 36 years old, and he just signed another contract extension. He has been a three-time All-Pro and 11-time Pro Bowler. His three All-Pro first teams were all in San Francisco. He made an All-Pro second team in Washington despite missing games. In 2015. 2016, by the way, was when he missed the final four games of the year, which were crucial games, if you recall. But hasn't missed the Pro Bowl since his second year in the league. We forget, I sometimes think we forget that Trent Williams is not going to go into the Hall of Fame as a Washington Redskin. He's not going to do that. He'll go into the Hall of Fame as a 49er. He'll end up playing when all is said and done. What was the length of this contract extension?
I haven't seen official numbers. I'm kind of searching for those. We just got word from like everybody that the extension was reached, but there was no number of years. It might have just been an adjusted value on this year for guaranteed money. So we're still waiting for the official numbers.
So 9 years in Washington, he just finished his fourth year going on his fifth year in San Francisco. Let's say he plays another two after that. You know, if he has a 16-year career, nine will be in Washington, seven in San Francisco. But the way it ended in Washington, I know it was a previous owner and a previous front office. But I think when all is said and done, Trent Williams is going to be much more fond of his experience in San Francisco than here, but he was always a great left tackle. He's now the best left tackle in the game. I don't know if you could say that for all of the years in Washington. He was always top three or four, no doubt. But what a career. You know, the whole cancerous thing on his head, that's a long story that I don't know if it'll get told one day. It did not end well here, clearly. I don't think it's one person's fault. I think they're probably both culpable for what went down. But man, what a player Trent Williams is. I think in that top 100 list that we talked about that ESPN had, wasn't he? I think he was like number four or number five on the top 100 list, player list. That's saying something when you're a left tackle. All right, go ahead.
All right, we got some U.S. Open action tonight. Francis Tiafoe in action against ninth-ranked Grigor Dimitrov. I've got to be honest, I have watched zero U.S. Open, but I'm still pulling for Tiafoe.
Oh, I've been watching actually much more U.S. Open than I thought I would watch. And Tiafoe, big match tonight. Can't wait to watch him. He was outstanding in his last match. Some of these matches have been going. It's ridiculous that you got matches going at 2:30 in the morning, New York time. I don't know how. There's a complaint that there's too much time that passes between a match that ends and the next match that starts, in part because sometimes they have to clear out like the arena and bring people in for whatever the next session is. Trent Williams, by the way, was not in the top five. I was wrong. He was 14th on the list of top 100 players in the league per the ESPN top 10 list. The number one tackle, offensive tackle in the league. But, yeah, it's been great. You've got this Navarro and Jesse Pegula on the women's side that could be headed towards a matchup later this week. Both of their fathers are billionaires. Pegula's father is the owner of the Buffalo Bills. This Emma Navarro, who knocked off Coco Gauff the other day, her father is some sort of hedge fund billionaire. And that's where tennis apparently is headed on the women's side for American players. But it's been entertaining. The issue is, you know, Tiafoe's a big American, and you've got Taylor Fritz, who's out there as an American. So there's, an American has not won a men's Grand Slam event since Andy Roddick in, I think, 2003. That's how long it's been since an American male won a Grand Slam. That is unbelievable. But there is a chance for it now because you've got Taylor Fritz, you've got Francis Tiafo going tonight, two Americans, and they would end up playing each other in the semifinals if they win. It would be a Fritz Tiafo. Tiafo's got Grigor Dimitrov, who's been around for a while, and Fritz has Zverev. I'll watch those matches today and tonight. Definitely watch Tiafo. College Park. You know his story, right? Do you know the Tiafo story?
Yeah, we talked about it before. Yeah, because we've tried to get him on the show before.
Yeah, Sierra Leone, the family's from. The father was a custodian at the College Park tennis facility. And he, I think Francis and his younger brother, or maybe older brother, started picking up tennis rackets, hitting balls around. And it's just a phenomenal story. He really appears to be a great dude all around and is a big, you know, DMV-er. He's a big Terp fan. He's a big, you know, Washington sports fan. I think he is, more so than Baltimore. I could be wrong about that. But really rooting for him. The U.S. Open crowd, the New York crowd loves him. And, you know, this match over the guy that knocked off Djokovic, he was really, really solid. So we'll see. The match that was really good with him was a couple of days ago when he beat the other American, Ben Shelton.
Yes.
Who is really this lefty who's like 20 years old. But rooting for Tiafo, that would be great to see an American win a major, and it would be incredible if it were Tiafo. I still think that Sinner probably ends up winning the Open, despite all of the, you know, performance-enhancing
doping
stories that are out there. Not stories, facts.
Facts.
He took some of the stuff, but apparently didn't know it, so they let him play. All right, go ahead.
All right, I got two final ones for you, one of which was the piece of audio that I teased you with. This is Andy Kotelnicki. He's the offensive coordinator at Penn State. Obviously, they had a really good performance this weekend against WVU. Drew Aller played really well. Somebody asked him about the complexities of the offense, and this is how he described Penn State's offense.
The blizzard in itself, right, is a wonderful dessert, right, which we should all use in moderation, correct? Okay. In itself looks complicated because it's messy inside, right? And the person working there puts it in the machine, the ice cream. But fundamentally, it's mostly made up of what? Vanilla ice cream. So if you could equate offensive football to your favorite blizzard and understanding that what it's going to look like is going to be looking like a messy piece of deliciousness, but fundamentally is composed of really just vanilla ice cream and your favorite candies, right? That's when we talk about simplicity versus complexion, right? So it's going to look really complex, but really at the end of the day, it's just two ingredients mixed together.
That was Penn State's offensive coordinator.
Yes.
Okay. You know, he shouldn't be talking about DQ in the blizzard because do you know that Penn State has one of the most famous ice cream, what are they called, creameries?
Creameries, yeah.
Of any campus in the country. It's called Berkey. I know this because my youngest son went to Penn State. And this is an ice cream producing machine. They ship their ice cream everywhere across the country. Anybody that's ever had Berkey from Penn State. I mean, when we would go up to visit or we'd go up for a game or whatever, we would come back with about 5 half gallons of different flavors packed in dry ice. DQ, the blizzard does not measure up to it. But I'm telling you, if you're ever at Penn State for any reason, check out Berkey ice cream store or creamery, whatever they call it.
That's one that has that peach ice cream, right? The peachy.
Oh, they got all kinds of flavors.
Yeah,
that their mint chip thing. Best thing I've ever put in my mouth from an ice cream standpoint. Yeah, they had some sort of chocolate death flavor. I'm trying to come up with their flavors right now, see if I can get them on the web. See if the website has all the list of flavors. Browse all of our flavors. Here it is. Look, bittersweet mint was excellent. There's something like chocolate death. Death by chocolate. Death by chocolate.
I'd sign up for that one.
Was really good. Yeah. chocolate ice cream, chocolate flakes, fudge pieces, and chocolate swirl. Yep.
Oh, my God. They have a cinnamon caramel apple ice cream cookie on a snickerdoodle.
I see it. I don't remember getting that. I remember we always got the bittersweet mint. We always got the death by chocolate. We always got the vanilla chocolate. It was like a vanilla with a chocolate, you know, thing through it. That was good. Their strawberry was great. Anyway, a blizzard. Tell me, it's the blizzard where when they put it in the thing and they take it off the stirrer or the blender, they always turn it upside down and it doesn't fall out.
Yeah,
isn't that their thing when they do a blizzard?
Yeah, that's what they do. I don't love Dairy Queen. I was hired and fired by a Dairy Queen when I was 15, so they're not my favorite, but I did love this.
How'd you get fired at Dairy Queen? What'd you do?
Nothing. They hired me knowing that I was 15, and in Virginia, you have to have either a worker's permit or you got to be 16. They knew I was 15 with no workers. It wasn't just me. They hired like a bunch of 15-year-olds, trained us for a day, and they were like, wait a second, you guys can't actually work, and they all fired us.
Okay. I don't know if that would prevent me from ordering a blizzard if I happened to come across. I don't even know where. We don't have Dairy Queens around here, do we?
No, I lived in the suburbs. You're not getting a Dairy Queen in D.C. Go to like a real creamery in D.C.
Even in the I guess there's one at Montgomery Mall. I think there's one at Montgomery Mall. I could be wrong about that. Am I wrong about that? I think there used to be one at Montgomery Mall. I haven't been to Montgomery Mall in forever. What do I know? All right. Anything else?
Yeah, that's all I got for you.
Okay. We are going to have Ian O'Connor on the show in about 12 minutes. He's written the book on Aaron Rodgers. It's called Out of the Darkness, The Mystery of Aaron Rodgers. That coming up. A couple of other odds and ends to get to in the next segment on the Kevin Sheehan Show. The Team 980, theteam980.com. We are free and live on the Odyssey app. So Todd Bowles, who is the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Washington's season opening opponent on Sunday in Tampa, 4:25 kick on Fox. Who will be calling that game? We should have the announcer stuff out already. He was, I guess, talking to the media yesterday or the day before and was asked about, you know, Jaden Daniels and the focus on Jaden Daniels. Listen to his answer.
I think if you find yourself just facing a rookie quarterback, the other 10 guys going to kill you. So we're facing the Redskins. We're not facing Jaden Daniels. They got 10 other guys that we got to worry about as well. So we don't look at it as facing a rookie quarterback. We're trying to beat the Redskins.
Todd Bowles played for the Redskins. Todd Bowles has been around this league for a long time. He won a Super Bowl with the Redskins, was part of the Super Bowl win in San Diego, the Doug Williams Super Bowl over the Denver Broncos. Todd Bowles has been an excellent defensive mind for a long time. And this got a lot of attention, I guess, on Twitter last night. And I just tweeted out very simply with the audio from it. He played for us. It's once again just another illustration of the Commanders being one of the worst and biggest rebranding flops in product history. I mean, you'd got to go back to New Coke to find one that's worse than this. That's probably a bit of exaggeration. And then I tweeted out, yes, to all of you dopes out there that will say, it's about winning, Kevin. The top priority is winning. Can't you get that through your head? Yeah, I'm fully aware that building a winning team on the field is a top priority. I'm actually capable of thinking of more than one thing at a time. Some of you are not. This from Mac. God, and then, yes, the rest of it. Please stop talking about the name. The season has started. Actually, it hasn't yet. They start Sunday. Enough about the name already. You spend far too much time on the name. You know, Denton and I did this maybe, I don't know, it was like a month ago, month and a half ago. Roughly 5% of the conversation during the off season included something about the name on this radio show. During the season last year, it was zero, basically. Again, like I said to Ian earlier in the show, the truth will do sometimes. You don't have to exaggerate to the point where it's not only not believable, but you lose all credibility. That's a stupid thing to say. We rarely talk about the name on this show compared to other subjects. In terms of the breakdown between talking about the team and the product on the field and the name, it's like 95-5. Yeah, it really is. Now, trust me, that 5% can get us fired up, can get us passionate, no doubt, because I hate the name currently. I hate the rebrand. I desperately want something new that makes me feel like I'm rooting for my team again. It doesn't feel like I'm rooting for my team, and it hasn't since February 2nd, 2022, when that embarrassing rebrand was unveiled in one of the most amateur ways you could ever imagine. I also am really into the team and understand that they should be focused on winning and focused on the new stadium. And I understand we're not going to hear anything about the name for real, specifically, until the stadium path is cleared of politicians and of anybody that could influence or impact how the stadium result ends up. Because they don't want to lose any leverage. They don't want to lose any negotiating ability. They don't want to lose anybody that's interested in a new stadium. D.C. that might become less interested if they start talking name publicly. They're talking about it behind closed doors. They have been for a while. You'd have to be severely intellectually limited to think that they haven't been. But yes, Todd Bowles just illustrated how bad of a rebrand this really was. Also, it's reflective of his age. It's reflective of him having played for the team. It's probably partially reflective of him also not wanting to give up on the old name. But most of you know this, so I'll just say it again. The old name ain't coming back. It's not. And I kind of understand why it's not coming back. But that's a different conversation from whether or not the thing that's here should stay and will stay. I still say it shouldn't and it won't. But we'll have to get through the stadium stuff first. Ian O'Connor wrote a book on Aaron Rodgers. It's top three on the New York best-selling list right now. It's called Out of the Darkness, The Mystery of Aaron Rodgers. I think Aaron Rodgers is a fascinating figure and has a lot of mystery around a lot of the stuff that he's done off the field in recent years in particular. Ian O'Connor, my guest next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.